Well, good morning. You guys can go ahead and stand. There are some Sunday mornings I wake up and I'm tired and I don't want to have to put forth the effort to get ready and come, but of course I'm always glad I did. And then there are Sundays that I get up and feeling refreshed and I'm excited about the day. And today's been one of those days for me. It's one of those mornings to where and I kind of had anticipated in my mind that I might wake up kind of tired after a busy weekend, but I didn't. I woke up refreshed and excited, and then I read this blog that Big Joe posted, and I'm just going to read part of it. He talked about an old song he used to sing in church called Rise, Shine, and Give God the Glory. How many remember that? Rise, we're not going to sing that this morning, but this is what he said about it. He said, rise, get up, move higher. When I rise up, I'm able to see more. My thankfulness comes from a higher perspective. I rise and see how blessed I am. Shine, allow his spirit to radiate through my soul. I will be the warm feeling of sunlight on everyone I meet today. Give God the glory. I will let people see his glory through my actions. My words will be words of thankfulness all day long. That's how I'm starting my day. That's how I think we all need to start this morning out, and let's worship him. So, in the words of Big Joe in the old hymn, rise, shine, and give God the glory. Amen.
I don't have to be afraid. together for my good. Yes, you make all things work together for my good. Yes, you make all things work together for my good. God, we thank you so much this morning that you make all things work together for our good, God. We know that when things are not good and the, you know, the waters are raging, Father, that you are right there and we can turn to you. And we just thank you that during those times, God, that we can just turn to you and there you are. And we praise you for that this morning, God. We give you glory and we worship you. You know, I use that song and a lot of songs as is when I want to turn to God, and when I've had a bad day or something's going wrong, I find peace in music. I love music, but whatever it is that you find God in, do it. I know I've said before that, you know, if I have a bad day at work, and you know, sometimes you're going to have those days. You're going to feel depleted. You're going to be like, oh, what happened today? But I can get in my car and I can turn that song on and just change everything. And I know that's my way of saying that God is right there, right when I turn to him.
That's good.
So this morning, as we sing these songs, just let's do that. Let's just turn to him right now. And let's praise him for who he is, what he's done, and what he's going to do. Amen.
You have fed us with the body and the blood of Son, while we were sinners and unworthy of the mercy you've shown. You have fed the body and the blood of your Son, while we were sinners and unworthy of the mercy you've shown. Thank you for saving us. Body and the blood of your Son, while we Thank you, Father, Lord God, that your mercies are new every morning. I thank you, Father, Lord, that nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us from your love, God. And we just relish in your love this morning. That we're just able to sit at your feet, to fall at your feet, to cry at your feet, to worship at your feet, God. And let you, Father, be all that you are, and just to pour out and lavish your love on us, God. We thank you for that love, God. There is nothing like your love, Lord.
And he is jealous for me. His love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. All of a sudden, that I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are. God, we thank you so much this morning that you love us. Like, we don't even understand how much you love us, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
We give you praise, Father, for everything you do, God. Thank you for this body of people that have gathered, here to hear your word, God. I just pray this morning will be a special morning. And you'll bless each and every heart, God, because we are just so thankful for you. Amen.
God is good, isn't he? That's right, Terry, all the time. I'm going to ask Dale Cordova if you'll join me for a moment. And Dale's going to give you a little update on his wife, and then we're going to have a special prayer.
Good morning, everybody. I was telling Baron a little earlier, I'm good on one and a few, but I don't know about one and a lot, but... I just want to let you know, many of you do know already, you know, Nora has been in a tough place for quite a while now. Back in late July, she went in for a complicated but normal surgery, and there were all kinds of complications that arose after that. Three major surgeries in a little over 3 weeks. She's currently recovering at a long-term acute care facility up in Upper Riverdale Road in Southern Regional Hospital. And I just want you to know she's doing well, considering what she's dealing with. She still has a way to go. She has to be, put back together one way of putting it, because her stomach and her esophagus have been disconnected to allow them to rest. And so she's hadn't been allowed to drink or eat for quite a while now, and is getting a food tube or intravenous feeding. So, but I want to thank you all prayers and your love, and it's very well received and felt. And it's been a while since I've been here. It's good to be back in the fellowship, and we're in the fellowship when I'm up there with Nora, believe me. So we love you guys, and we love the way you've been caring for us. Thank you.
Just stay right here a minute, and we'll pray. Father, we just thank you for Dale and Nora, and thank you for their commitment to you and to this house. And we lift her up to you, and thank you for your presence with her. We ask you to just give her, Lord, a true sense of your presence with her. We ask for supernatural strength over Dale and his family. We just bless them, and thank you for all you've done and all you're doing. We give you glory and praise in Christ's name. Everybody said, amen. Wow. Feels good in here. Okay. Feels. Sometimes I say that just to get you stirred up, but sometimes it's for real. And I'm glad it doesn't get old. Aren't you? God's presence doesn't get old. Welcome. Thank you for filling out your connection card. Keep doing that every week. We'll keep praying for you. You keep letting us know what you need. If you're a visitor, if you're going out the door, there's a free gift for you. Thank you, members, for y'all stop stealing them. So we got more cups now to give. I'm just teasing. I'm full this morning, so it's going to take me a few minutes, okay? I want to do justice to this message. More so than anything I've ever done, I want to do justice to this message. And I want to give it to you the way God's given it to me. I want us to hear it. It's quite a parable. Jesus has spent 3 years. 3 years. By parables and miracles and teachings. wanting to get Israel to be fruitful. So I want you to picture Jesus for a moment. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You have to understand, when he stood one day and he opened his arms and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you together as a hen does her little ones, and you wouldn't. You wouldn't let me love you. You wouldn't let me give to you what I came to give to you. You stoned the prophets that were sent to you. You disrespected the words that came to you. You took for granted your place, who you were. And you missed the day of your visitation. You missed the day of your visitation." You know, read those words and read those things, and we forget he's not just God in the flesh. He's all man, too. And he feels the pain. He feels the hurt. He feels the rejection. He feels the all those things. But he's wanting so much for them to get it. And he says this parable in Luke chapter 13, verse 6. Then Jesus told this story. A man planted a vineyard tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to his gardener, "I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden." The gardener answered, "Sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year. I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, you can cut it down." Wow. Two things in this parable. There's the gospel of another chance. Anybody ever been disappointed? I mean, it's just something about being disappointed. It's tough. Maybe you're disappointed in a person, disappointed in a job, disappointed in your life, disappointed in something that happened. It's really tough. See, a fig tree usually takes at least 3 years to bear fruit. And after 3 years, if it hasn't bear any fruit, is hasn't produced any figs, it's probably not going to. And so you're just going to cut it down. A fig tree represents peace and prosperity. Peace and prosperity. How many want peace and prosperity? Now, peace is wonderful. Prosperity, I want you to hear prosperity in the way that you ought to hear it today. I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about things. I'm talking about love and joy and peace, long-suffering and gentleness and kindness, that kind of fruit. How many know that kind of fruit is better than any other kind of fruit? How many would rather have love and joy and peace than all the money in the world? I mean, I'd rather have love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, and faith than anything. See, this fig tree was drawing strength and sustenance from the soil, but it wasn't returning anything. It wasn't producing anything. There's two kinds of people in the world, those who take out more than they put in, and those who put in more than they take out. Two kinds of people. Those who put in more than they take out, and those who take out more than they put in. See, what this fig tree was doing, it was drawing from the soil, but it wasn't producing anything. It wasn't giving forth what it should given forth. Now, I got 2 points this morning in this parable. You know, I read all the Gospels many, many times, and this parable spoken by Luke, not spoken by anyone else. And you know, we don't get the outcome of this story. We don't know what happened the next year to this fig tree. We don't get the outcome. Jesus didn't go on and add to this parable and say that he came back a year later and it had bore fruit. We don't know what the outcome was. We know one or two things happened to this. It either got it right and bore fruit, or it was cut down a year later. Number one, God never picks what he hasn't planted. God never picks what he hasn't planted. Sometimes we try to produce something that God hasn't put in us. Sometimes people try to produce something in life that God never intended for them to produce. Sometimes we get tired and weary because we're trying to do something that God never intended for us to do. And I want to belabor this for a moment because, see, this is what happened to David. David went to fight a giant one day, and David did not go against him with something that he didn't have already in his arsenal. See, he said to the giant, he said, "You come against me with a sword and a spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. You may call me a dog, but you're just a little puppy." See, he began to see this giant in the way that God saw the giant. He began to see things the way God wanted him to see things. And he said, "You know, I'm not coming with Saul's armor because I haven't proved that. I don't know how to use that kind of stuff. I'm going to come with you with what God's already put into me the whole time I've been tending these sheep. This is what I'm going to come to you with." See, I stopped apologizing a long time ago for some things that I can't do. And you know what? I wasn't called to do that. I may not can use a Phillips screwdriver very well, but that's why God gave me Barbara. And there are things that I wish I could do, and I used to get frustrated because I couldn't do them. But you know what? God didn't call me to do that. But you put a Bible in my hand and a microphone to my lips, and I'll bless you and I'll encourage you and I'll strengthen you because that's what God's called me to do. And you see, when we start doing what God's put in us to do and not stop trying to do something that God hasn't put in us to do and only produce what he's called me to produce, and then I can produce that because it's part of me. It's what is inside of me. You see, we had to let go of some things years ago. We had to let go of some people years ago because there were people who didn't understand who we were and what we were about and what this church is and what this church is about, because they wanted to grow corn and we grew tomatoes. And I had to tell somebody one day, "You know what? We're tomato church. We grow tomatoes and you want corn." Now, I love corn, but it sure gets in between your teeth and sure gives you a lot of problems. But we grow tomatoes here. And what I want you to hear this morning, church, is that we've got to produce what God's called us to produce. And you see, don't be frustrated and down on yourself because there are things in your life that you can't produce that God never intended you to produce. It will only frustrate you to try to produce something you can't produce. There was a story in Judges chapter 9, and some people wanted to make somebody a king. And so who they wanted to be king shouldn't have been king, and it wasn't Saul. This was another story. This was in Judges that they wanted somebody else to take charge. And it's like, see, people always look at the wrong way to try to find out if someone's got what they really need. How many know that Saul wasn't the king that God had for Israel? And what they saw was a man head and shoulders above everybody else. They measured him by his height, not by how much glory was on inside of him. It took the wrong measuring stick, and they measured him by his height and not by what was inside of him. See, God had already picked somebody named David who had a heart after God. And so there were some guys one time, and they wanted to make somebody really special. And then they're told by a prophet, says, listen to me, you citizens of Shechem. Listen to me if you want to listen, if you want God to listen to you. Once upon a time, there were some trees. He decided to elect a king. First, they said to the olive tree, be our king. But the olive tree refused, saying, should I quit producing the olive oil that blesses both God and people just to wave back and forth over the trees? Do you know, just if you're just producing some olive oil to bless people, do you know that's a wonderful thing? Do you know it's a wonderful thing just to make someone smile? You know, it's a wonderful thing just to bless somebody. Then they said to the fig tree, you be our king. But the fig tree refused, saying, should I quit producing sweet fruit just to wave back and forth over the trees? Should I just do away with my sweetness? Do you know that just being sweet is a great gift? Do you know just being sweet is a great gift? How many love sweet people? I mean, sweet people are nice to be around. Mean people, rude people aren't nice to be around. Sweet people are nice to be around. It just be sweet. Then they said to the grapevine, be our king. But the grapevine refused, saying, should I quit producing the wine that cheers both God and people just to wave back and forth over the trees? Should I stop giving people joy just to be king? And then they turned to a thorn bush and said, come be our king. Thorn bush replied to the trees, if you truly want me to be your king, come take shelter in my shade. He ain't got no shade. Take shelter. If not, let fire come out from me and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Wow. Wow. I want to produce what God's put in me to produce. Don't you? I had a man years ago, probably one of the greatest things happened in the charismatic movement, and some of the worst things that happened out of the charismatic movement was people trying to do something and be something they weren't called to do and called to be. And a man came to me one time wanting me to ordain him an apostle, and I had to look at him and say, you're not an apostle. That's not in you. It tore our relationship apart. It broke our lives apart. It devastated the relationship completely. But the fact remained, he wasn't called to produce what he's going to try to produce. And he spent years trying to produce something. It wasn't in him to produce. And he took a gun to his head and killed himself because of the frustration of life of trying to produce something he never was called to produce. Give me one more chance, the gardener said. Let me do some things to this fig tree to see if it will produce. Give it another chance. Now, I want you to see some things from here on out in this story. What do you do after you've given it another chance? What do you do after you've dug around it? What do you do after the year is up? I don't know. That's for you and that's for me. That's for us to decide. Either it'll produce or either it won't. But the fact of the matter is we got to give it a chance. We got to do something. We got to do something that this gardener decides in the garden. This is what the gardener... Now, the gardener did not blame the environment. You see, that wasn't the only fig tree there. There was a bunch of other fig trees in the same ground producing figs. And so he knew it wasn't the ground's fault. There had to be some other reason why this particular fig tree is not doing what it's supposed to do. See, it's not to produce fruit. It's not where you're planted. It's the purpose of your life that matters. You with me? It's the purpose of your life. See, the purpose of the fig tree was to bear figs. That was the whole total purpose of the fig tree. And so he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to work. Now, I love the old King James Version. King James said it like this: let me dig it and let me dung it. Let me dig it and dung it. Now, for you that don't know what dung is, it's crap. He says, let me dig around it, let me put some manure on it, let me fertilize it, and let me dig, let me fertilize, let me dig, let me fertilize, let me dig, let me fertilize. You see, I found out if you would just, the stuff that comes your way, if you'll stop screaming at it. You see, you can scream at the leaves all you want. The leaves had nothing to do with the fruit. The roots have everything to do with the fruit. We're screaming at leaves when we got to be screaming at the fruit, at the root. We got to get to the bottom of the matter. What is the real cause of it not bearing fruit? We got to get to where it really counts. Got to get to the root. And so the gardener said, I'm not going to blame my environment. I'm not going to blame the ground. I'm going to go to work. Sometimes you just got to go to work. Sometimes you just got to start digging. You know, I found a long time ago, with all the criticism and the words spoken against me about this and that and another, some lies, some not lies, but all the criticism I got, I had to realize I got to either let that bless me, let that make me, or let that break me. And so what I decided to do is take all of that and just use it as fertilizer in my life and fertilize my life and say it a little bit louder and a little bit bolder and a little bit more. I just got to stand up and be who God's called me to be and say what God's called me to say. Do what God's called me to do. And you can't blame the environment. He says, let me give it special attention. That's what the gardener said. Let me give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. Ken and I were having a conversation yesterday, and he was telling me about how much he's enjoyed meeting with Ralph over the last few months and helping Ralph rewrite some things and put some things in words, some of his plans and teachings, and et cetera, et cetera. And he said, you know, so many people live life so haphazardly. Whatever comes their way, whatever happens, molds them and makes them into who they are. And with no purpose in their life, to take what's going on in their life and have purpose with it. To take it and work it, to take the fertilizer, to dig, to give it special attention. See, your life's only going to produce what you give attention to produce. What you want to produce will only produce what you give attention to produce. And you got to put some fertilizer on it. Stop screaming at the leaves. You want the figs, but you don't want to dig. We want the figs, but we don't want to dig, right? Want the figs, but just don't want. You know, people want, but they don't want to give. They want love, but they don't want to give love. They want friends, but they don't want to give friendship. Israel, how many know that Israel wanted the fruit in Canaan land? They wanted the fruit, but they didn't want to fight the fight. They wanted the fruit, but they didn't want to fight. See, everything in you're gonna fight for it. You're gonna dig for it. You're gonna plan for it. You're gonna work for it if you get it. Oh, that went over like a whatever. I mean, no, you got to work for it. Now, it's work's not a bad word. You got to work for it. It's not just going to come your way. I'm going to have to do something. I got a plan for it. I got a purpose for it. Israel wanted the fruit, but they didn't want the battle. Every failure you have is only fertilizer for your life. A failure can either destroy you or fertilize you. We decide what's going to happen. We're going to decide if we're going to let it be fertilizer or we're going to let it just our failures be failures. I mean, nothing happens to you in your life that God can't take and work it out for your good. All things work together for good to them who love God and them who are called according to his purpose. If we allow it, God will work it for our good. But we got to work with him. God's got a plan. We have a part. Perseverance is the key. God has a plan. We have a part. Perseverance is the key. See, the whole Hebrews summed it up with one scripture. All the things that were spoken, all the things that the prophets heard, all the things that came their way, they inherited the promises because of their faith and their perseverance. Because of their faith and their perseverance. Because they didn't give up. And they worked the plan that God's given them. Now, we begin this year with a year of launching. Year of launching. Remember that? Still on the board out there, launching. Time for us to launch. Time for you to launch. Time to not take for granted the little things in your life. Time for you not to take for granted doing the same things you do in life. Because those same things can develop in you everything that God intends for you to have and want to have. There's nothing wrong with doing the same thing over and over and over again. How many know that this guy, this gardener, had to do the same thing every day, every week, every month for a year if he was going to see it work? He had to keep digging. He had to keep fertilizing. He had to keep digging, and he had to keep fertilizing. Now, there's a lot of ways to look at this parable. And it's God's the gardener. I mean, no, God's, he's the planter. Israel's the fig tree. God's the planter. You're the gardener. I'm the gardener. And I've looked at this in a lot of different ways. But this is what got me with it. Justice said, cut this thing down. Justice said, cut it down. The gardener would have been just had the owner of the vineyard said, cut it down. He was just in doing that because it was taking up room. It was taking and not giving. It wasn't producing. It was only taking. And so it was, justice was, cut it down and plant another one. But how many are glad that mercy triumphs over justice? Aren't you glad mercy triumphs over justice? And mercy said, give me another year. Give me one more year to dig around this thing. Give me one more year to fertilize. Give me one more year to work this soil. And then when you come back, if it's not bearing fruit, you can cut it down. You can cut it down. John the Baptist one day was baptizing in the River Jordan. They were coming from all over the place. Even the greatest prophet of all came, named Jesus. John baptized him. And all these other people started coming. And John looks up and he says, you brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee God's coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you've repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, we're safe and we're descendants of Abraham. That means nothing. I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots and the trees. Yet every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. I want to tell you something. This is not a one-time incident that happens. The axe is always laid at the root, ready to cut down, ready to destroy whatever's not bearing fruit. And what he's saying to these Pharisees, you're not bearing the fruit that God's called you to do. You're taking the law and you're beating people up with it. You're taking God's commands and God's good things and you're beating people up with it. Instead of loving people and showing mercy to people and giving them what they need, you're doing just the opposite of everything you shouldn't do. And see, that's why this is not a good teaching. This is not a positive outlook and all of that's not just something to have a good doctrinal theology about. Folks, it's real. It's real. It's alive and it will do in you and through you and for you far exceedingly above anything you can even think where you can even imagine. But this is what I want you to hear this morning. This is a sobering parable. I mean, so sobering. I have to decide in my life what I'm going to dig, what I'm going to fertilize, or what I'm going to cut down. Wow. That's pretty sobering fact, isn't it? Now here's the good in this is this. God is so loving and gracious and kind and good that if you'll do your part, if you won't live life haphazardly and you'll live it with purpose, and you'll decide that everything that has happened to me and has come my way, I'm going to either use it as fertilizer or I'm going to realize I need to cut this down. So I don't want you to just hear this morning, I got to dig and I got to fertilize. You do. And I do. But there are things in life, it may just be time. Cut it down. There's things that you try to produce, and you can't produce it. And all it's doing is sapping the nutrients from your life. It's just draining you of your life. There are things in my life that over the years I've had to cut down, because all they were doing was draining me. They were depleting me of strength, joy. It just was draining. And God has given you, given me, this great privilege to be co-laborers with Him in the vineyard. You'll co-labor with God. And He gives you the ability to dig and the fertilizer to see it bear fruit. Or He's given you the wisdom to know, this just needs to go. This needs to be cut out of my life. We understand that in the medical field. We don't get that in the spiritual field. Man, we so get it in the natural realm. If we treated our spirits and our souls the way we treat our bodies and how we'll take care of our bodies. If a doctor said, you know, you got this thing in you, but if we cut it out, you'll be fine. Cut. Do what you got to do. Get it out. And yet in our soul, which is the most important part of our being, in our spirit, when there are things that need to be severed and cut away, we have a total different, because we don't see it as what it really is. We're just going to scream at the leaves. We're going to scream at our life. Scream, scream, scream. Bear fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit. Bear fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit. And not ever go to the root. And not ever dig and fertilize what we ought to dig and what we ought to fertilize. That's us, church. That's our part. God's plan's clear. I decided in January to begin to read the Bible through next year with a whole new set of eyes. And this is my plan. I'm not going to read the Bible to get doctrine out of it. I don't want to read the Bible. I got more doctrine. I know what to do with it now. I want to read it for life. I want to get nothing but life principles out of it. I want to see every story, everything in it. I want to, what can I get out of that? What can that do to me? to change me, mold me, make me fruitful. I'm going to dig. And instead of complaining about the stuff that comes my way, I'm going to use it as fertilizer. Isn't that a great way to look at it? I'm going to take everything that bad happens, I'm just going to use it as fertilizer. God, you're going to get something good out of this. I'm going to bear some fruit out of this. Here's what I want for the next few minutes. I want you to think, meditate. What part of your life do you want to see fruit? You want to see fruit. Good things come out of it. And that I'm going to make a commitment to it. That I'm going to dig and I'm going to fertilize for at least a year. I'm going to dig and I'm going to fertilize it for at least a year. And at the end of it, then I'll make a call. Then I'll make a whatever. But in the process of this time, ask God the second question. What do I need to cut? What's draining you? What's draining me that's not need? I don't need that. I need to sever that. Because it's not going to bear fruit. It's just not going to do it. The most disheartened thing in pastoral ministry is digging and digging and fertilizing around trees that just won't produce. It just won't take it. It just won't go, amen, so let it be. Because if you work it, it works. If you work it, it works. I knew today this was going to be one of the most difficult messages I've ever tried to get across, because it's so sobering. It's so sobering. But God is such a God of love and compassion for you and love for you. He will tell you clearly, clearly, clearly what you ought to do. What you ought to dig, what you ought to fertilize, what you ought to cut. You will not have a question about it. But you got to decide, am I going to work? One last thing. I got to stop blaming the environment, the soil. Stop blaming your circumstance and your situation and go to work. Just go to work. Just dig. Just fertilize. And be grateful and be thankful for everything in your life. Is that fair enough? Stand with me. I want you to sing this song. Old, old hymn. Remember this? Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Give thanks because He's given us Christ. Speak to you. The Lord's going to tell you exactly what you need to hear. So give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks unto the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks unto the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Done for us. Give
You may be seated.
Lots of important information is in your bulletin. Our ushers can be receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. This Wednesday is our trunk or treat. We will be serving hot dogs and chips and drinks to everybody that comes. If you are planning on decorating a trunk, your vehicle, we're going to do it this year up at the youth building parking lot, so up there by the basketball goal. So we will have it marked out where you need to come and where you need to go. If you're just coming to enjoy, then you can park here and then walk up to the youth building. We will start in the youth building and then go out to do the trunks out that way. So make sure that you are planning that. That is this Wednesday night. On Sunday, the 1st, is our prospective member or new member lunch that will be served right after the service. If you are interested in membership or knowing more about Eagles Way, we would like to invite you to be a part of that. All you need to do is say, hey, I'm interested in just getting a little more information. And so some of you will be receiving an email this week for a personal invitation, but we plan for that. And then next Wednesday night is first Wednesday of November. So first Wednesdays, we will have full service in here, relaxed, wonderful worship. Don't you love this team that brings us worship every Sunday morning? They will be with us doing that, and so that'll be on November 4th. So make sure that you are planning all of those things. And there's a ladies' meeting next Sunday, so you will be all of that information is in the bulletin, and we'll send it out in email form. If you are not receiving the email on a weekly basis that have updates and different things, all you have to do is go to EaglesWayChurch.org, and you can click on the button to begin receiving that email so that you are kept up to speed. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for these tithes and these offerings. Lord, the alms, Father, Lord, that come in that help us to do Rushton Hope, help us to give back to our community, to touch people's lives that are hurting and in dire need. We thank you for those. Lord, we ask you to bless them. Multiply it to your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we dismiss with worship, if you would like to come and give to the alms box, we emphasize that on the last Sunday of each month, you may come and do that. Let's stand and let's worship.
Every day, 'cause your love never fails.